Hello, Eagles fans, and welcome to another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast.
I'm also Chris known as the Eagles Beakley Podcast.
Bo, are you 1 week? Are you not going to interrupt the introduction?
No.
Like, let me get through like 10 seconds.
Probably
like,
not.
Seriously, dude. Like,
everybody knows it's coming. They expect it.
I know. I fully expect it. I'm always ready to do the pause in between before.
Yeah.
You know, that's to let it in there. So
hashtag retire this.
That would be at the top of it right there. So, folks, this Friday we finally get a little preseason action as training camp is in full bloom here. What are some of the big things that you guys are looking for? As let me give you kind of a lowdown of what we're doing here. We're inside the studio, and we have the door cracked open because we're waiting for our guest of the week, Earl Wolf, to walk by at any point. We don't know when he's going to walk by. We don't know when he's going to join us, but we're kind of just doing like a little play-by-play. So you'll see us like poking our heads around every couple of seconds, seeing who comes by every time the door cracks open. But preseason opener, fellas, what are you guys looking forward to?
Tackling,
special teams. That's obviously the biggest thing. As Brian Thomas laughs at me for bringing up special teams as being the number one thing I'm getting ready to say, but you guys know how big of an impact that is on the final 53-man roster. Nerd
alert! What is it in particular about the special teams?
Well, now you get to see the live hitting. You get to see, you know, obviously if guys are following through with their assignments and are in the position to put themselves, to make a play. So, you know, the bottom half of the roster, the bottom quarter of the roster, it's going to be really important to see how they come up and how they show up on special teams.
For me, it's mostly about the guys on the line. That's what I want to see. I want to see the second and third team offensive linemen, the second and third team defensive linemen. We know what the starting lineups are going to be on both sides, but I want to see guys like Taylor Hart and Bo Allen and Dennis Kelly. We haven't seen him play a game in this offense. Matt Tobin, those guys. That's what I'm most excited to see.
No question, and especially now with the way these practices are, it's tough to kind of get a feel for how these linemen are playing. So, yeah, I would agree the line play on both sides of the ball will be important to watch over this Friday.
What are their big storylines? Is it Nick Foles' development? The thing is, we just don't know how much we're going to see. I mean, as we film this on Monday, we could see a series. We could see two series. Mm-hmm. I mean, first preseason game, you usually don't get to see a whole lot of the starters. So to your point, Bo, it's going to be a great opportunity to see the second and third team lines, to see them develop and finally get in that game action where, you know, you have a better sense of judging how far that they've all developed.
And Bill Davis talked already about the idea of potentially taking your ones out earlier so that you can see your twos and threes go against their ones and twos, because that's a better evaluation than seeing twos on twos.
It comes down to execution, too. Obviously, the scheme isn't what's really, really important for these next four games. It's really how these guys perform on the field, if they can, you know, execute what the coaches are calling, and, how they go up against the competition that's on the other side of the field. So it's really exciting. I'm really excited for football to be back.
No question about it. Eagles-Bears this Friday. You can watch it locally on 6ABC. Kickoff is set for 8 p.m. As we wait for Earl Wolf, that safety position is going to be very interesting. And one of the things you mentioned, Bo, about Bill Davis's press conference, I like that how he's mixing up the pairings, that you're seeing different guys run together each practice, each training session with a different guy, just to allow them to get that chemistry, to get on the same page with one another.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds that all four guys in the secondary start all 16 games and play together? Probably very low.
Yeah.
So the idea to work those guys together so the communication is good when they're called upon in those different combinations, I think, is obviously a smart thing.
Yeah, it goes across the board, obviously. You know, the safeties working with the linebackers and working with the corners, working with the nickels. I mean, it's important for all these guys to be used to working with each other and communicating with each other once the real bullets start flying.
Certainly, no question about it. So it'll be interesting to see what pairings they have, who works with whom, and especially with some of these guys, like guy like Earl Wolf, guy like Nate Allen, guys who are battling for the top spot. Will they get more playing time? You figure Malcolm Jenkins, you don't expect him to be in there that long. But, you know, will Chris Maragos be in there for most of the game? I wonder who will be the guys that get the majority of the reps. Will Davon Morgan or Daytwon Lowe, as we're, you know, keep going down the depth chart, Keelan Johnson, who's back now, will they get a good amount of reps? So who are the guys?
Probably a lot.
Yeah. So they're probably all across the board going to get a good amount of the action. So
I'm excited to see some of these guys that are in the second year.
Connor Barwin checking in.
I'm excited to see some of these guys that are going to be in their second year in the system, like a Brandon Graham. how they're developing, how he's starting to come along. And obviously we've seen what he's done so far this camp. How's he going to come in now that he's in year two in this system, in this defense, obviously competing for one of these jobs behind Brandon Graham or behind Connor Barwin and Trent Cole? I'm really excited to see Brandon Graham and what he brings to the table on Friday.
Yeah, you've seen him running with the twos, definitely looking much more comfortable. Obviously, you knew the pass rushing aspect he could bring to the table, but could he learn to adjust and drop back in coverage? And I think more importantly, what's going to be integral to Bill Davis's scheme this year is, can you mix and match? Is it going to be every time that you see this guy on the field, is he going to be dropping? If this guy's on the field, he's pass rushing. You got to be able to mix it up. So if he can showcase that ability to do so, which you would hope to in the second year of the scheme, certainly that would benefit Bill Davis and the rest of the team very much so.
You know, friend, you mentioned Brandon Graham's second year in the defense. How about Matt Barkley's second year in the offense? He's a guy who maybe struggled a little bit at times as a rookie, but I'm interested to see what he can do as he fights for that third job, tries to fend off G.J. Kinney. I think we're excited to see Mark Sanchez, last week's guest on the podcast, what he can do, but I want to see how Barkley runs this offense his second year in the system.
I mean, they've all the quarterbacks in general have looked crisp so far this camp. So I'm excited to see you know, how they look coming up against this defense, and regardless if it's with the twos or with the threes, which offensive line they're playing behind. I'm excited to see these guys take the field and how they execute this offense.
Yeah, I mean, Barkley, when you went back, as you know, Fran, you checked out the tape. What did you see from Matt Barkley last year as a rookie, the couple spots he got to go in there against the Cowboys and against the Giants?
I mean, there was definitely some good things. Obviously, it wasn't perfect. There were a couple interceptions in there, but there were definitely some moments there, especially in that Giants game, you know, where he showed why some people thought he could be a good prospect, you know, when he was coming up in USC. Obviously, you want to see him be accurate. You want to see him make good decisions, and those are things that he's shown he's been able to do throughout his career. So, the arm's looking better. He's thrown the ball a lot better this summer, at least from what we've been able to see from the stands. And, you know, I'm just really excited to see what he's able to do now in entering year two in this offense, now getting reaching a comfort level with these receivers. I'm really interested to see how he's going to pan out you know, this Friday.
Yeah, Chip Kelly has said that he's been pleased with the progress that the second-year quarterback has made, and you hope they'll be able to take that next step, especially having the full offseason here, making the jump from year one to year two. And I think it was valuable for him to get that experience, even though things didn't go as everyone would have hoped for. I think just be able to at least have that in your back pocket to say, all right, look, I've had a taste of NFL experience. I know what it's like out there. Now I can go back and learn from it. Now he's had the whole offseason to do so, and he's come back and he's definitely looked better than ever to this point.
Well, Chip sort of poo-pooed the idea that Matt Barkley his arm strength hasn't gotten better since the spring.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just confirmation bias, but I feel like I have seen his arm be a little bit stronger, but whether that's just him making better throws or not, I'm just interested to see how he does in game action.
Or just natural development. I mean, there are guys who get stronger arms throughout the course of their career, so either way, definitely Matt Barkley going to be someone to watch on Friday night to see how he can run the defense, or the offense, I should say. Hopefully he's not running the defense.
Well, that'd be interesting, too.
That would be interesting as well. Yeah, definitely deserved the X on that one, to say the least. So, now, some of the other guys, it's you look at, like, the running back position, because you know the top two guys, veterans, they're entrenched here in McCoy and Sproles. It's how will the rest of the carries be divvied up? How much will we see McCoy? Will we see McCoy? Will we see Sproles? And Chris Polk he's been sidelined for the last few training sessions. So is it going to be the chance for, you know, guys like Matthew Tucker and the rookie free agents who are trying to make a name for themselves, whether it's David Fluellen or Henry Josie?
Fluellen DeGeneres.
One of Bo's favorite fantasy football team names for the 2014 season.
A lot of places to go with David Fluellen or Roosevelt.
He has yet to trademark that, in case anybody's looking for that. It goes right along there with Eagles Beakley.
The best possible thing would be if we signed a running back named Roosevelt, and so that you could say battle for backup running back, Fluellen or Roosevelt.
Well, I could tell. Actually, I could tell you who my wife is most excited to see on Friday.
Okay.
As you guys know, she's not a big football fan, but I can convince her every once in a while to watch a college football game with me. And one of the games that she was able to watch
convince
last year.
Convince or force? Which is
it? It's somewhere in between. But last year, one of the games that she watched, and she sat and watched the whole game, was the SEC title game with Missouri and Auburn. And I explained to her the whole backstory with Henry Josie and all, you know, all the knee issues and how he had come back and what a comeback story it was. And she rooted for him the entire game. And I remember he actually got pushed out of bounds. It was a late hit out of bounds. He got pushed into one of the carts and had to leave the game. And she was really upset. So I know she was excited when we signed him. And I know she'll be excited to see him take the field on Friday.
So she's anti-Fluellen? Is that what you're telling me?
She might be anti-Fluellen.
All right. We'll have to have a conversation.
Yeah. What were some of the other – we had that listicle about the fantasy football names. Which ones were of your concoction there, or which ones were
– Those were Alex's. Mine are much better, but I'm not ready to share them. I thought we were doing that on a different episode. So I would have brought in my full list. I don't want to leave anything out.
You don't have them saved in your head?
Well, I mean, I've got some, but I don't – you know, we gotta save the good stuff.
No, certainly. I figured – I just – we were on the topic since it came up. I didn't know if this was going to be
the transition to
the rest of them here. So
I've already given out a couple for free, and the rest you got to pay for. Yeah.
So as we're sitting here doing the play-by-play of players walking by, waiting to see if and when Earl Wolfe will emerge.
As you guys can see now, our producers here, Brian Thomas and Nick, have pointed the camera at the door. And you can kind of take a look here and see out the door.
Nice job by Nick there.
Nice job. Nick, who is the newest addition to the ETN staff.
Probably a smart move to take off my ISO shot.
We tried to make it happen.
Wait, that's what everyone downloads.
What
everyone
it's
downloads.
Andrew Gardner.
Everyone downloads shirt. The audio podcast for.
This is actually good stuff, I think. Andrew Gardner in the green, jolly green giant.
I don't know if the shot is wide enough. I can't see. There's Derek Boyko running past. There you go. You can see the John Dorenbos portrait above the door frame. Can't see it.
No, I believe it.
It's a shame.
I believe it.
Andrew Gardner has
a good chance.
Nick,
to make this
go
team.
Get.
There you
yeah,
go. Nice
or
little tilt
the
up.
Shot there.
There you go. There's John.
See? The work of art. So
he drew that himself.
It's always 3 o'clock. When it comes to John Dorenbos, because he leads the way.
It's 3 o'clock somewhere.
For those of you listening, I'm apologize greatly.
I'm so sorry.
You're really missing out.
I would recommend, if you're listening, going back to the Mark Sanchez podcast and listening to the last segment of that. That was good stuff. And then you can hit us with the retire this hashtag.
Yes.
So we've got Andy Dalton, obviously got a big deal today. That's the news of the NFL.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that contract?
Second highest paid ginger in the league.
Fine, too.
Roger Goodell.
Well, never thought of it that way.
It's true.
The unique insight that Bull Wolf provides.
I'm not a big Andy Dalton fan, but there are not that many starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I wouldn't want him to be my quarterback, but he's a top 18 quarterback, something like that, probably.
I mean, that's the thing is if you're
between 15 and 20,
if you're Cincinnati, like what else? If it's not Andy Dalton, who is it?
And that's a big question.
Someone's got to be back there.
And the rest of the team is built to the point where they can win now.
It's not John Skelton, that's for sure.
They should be able to win in the playoffs. Stacked defense, good offensive line, skill position players galore. Should be able to make a run. They just need better quarterback play.
AJ Green, a favorite of Bo Wolf.
No question about that.
Third, and Mark LeBlanc.
Third pick overall. in the Fantasy Guru Dynasty League.
Yeah. We had our first Fantasy Draft last night, our Dynasty Startup League.
You'll be shocked, C-Mac, to know that Fran is pinning his hopes on Teddy Bridgewater once again.
Wow. Look at that.
On my bench.
You're all in. I mean,
all
you're
in.
All in.
And I took Campanero in the last round.
Of course.
I took a few rookies. Bridgewater, Mike Evans, Trey Mason, a couple of my guys.
So this is Dynasty League. This is permanent. Running with this team.
18-player roster, and you keep 12 from year to year. So it's keep three-quarters of your roster every year. So got to build up on those young guys.
But who do you have to win now?
Who do I have to win now?
As I get muted by the producer here. So it sounds like it's a bad kung fu movie. Lips are flapping, but nothing's coming out, and not that much comes out anyway.
That's Aaron Rodgers, Matt Forte.
You have guys to win now.
Yeah, guts.
So you're not looking. You're not looking ahead to 2015 already.
Well, he is because he took Josh Gordon.
I did. Hey, the value was there.
All depends where you pick them. That's the important thing.
I took Jeremy Maclin, then I took Josh Gordon.
Very nice. I was going to say
Jake Knott walks by in his SEPTA T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Ride it.
not driving his car. Jake not polluting the environment.
Yeah. Ryan Nissan, media relations manager.
Not yet.
Just still waiting on a roll.
He's already on the show. I mean, it's too late. Jake, go by.
Jake not going to be on the podcast.
is that a fantasy name? Jake not going to lose one game this year.
Well, actually four.
Earl.
There he is. Earl and Wolf.
With Chief James.
The man himself.
The Chief walking in.
How long
have we been there for? There he is. We know you and your eating wings.
You got room to slide by there?
There you go.
There you go.
Slide the headphones on.
All right, so we're already rolling. All right, so
don't pull Evan Turner on
exactly. That's what I'm prefacing it with. Okay, that's what I'm prefacing it with.
Shout out to Max Rappaport.
Speaking of hunger. All right, we wanted to know if you had a chance of being wing bowl, how would you crush the competition? Because word in the locker room is that when it comes to eating, that you would be the top dog.
I would be up there, you know, for the locker room. But that wing bowl, I saw the results.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have a chance.
Those wings are tiny, though.
oh, for real?
Yeah.
A tiny?
Smaller.
Tiny.
Yeah. Smaller.
You can move up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Would you have beat Jason?
How many did he eat?
65, I want to say.
Unofficially 65.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
It would have been tough, but...
I think 20 minutes?
Just with me being a competitor, I would have given him a run for his money. Definitely.
What food would you be best at in terms of competitive eating?
Wings.
Wings?
Yeah.
That's
definitely
it?
Wings.
All right.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, was there a go-to spot when you were down at NC State or growing up? How did you develop that affinity? Because it wasn't until college for me until I got turned on to wings.
I don't know. I can't remember exactly when it was. Like, I really don't. But I just know.
There wasn't that magic moment at all.
I don't remember when I first ate wings either. it's not a seminal moment in my life. My first kiss, when I got my diploma, and then the first time I had wings.
I remember. It changes your life. It changes your viewpoint on everything.
I disagree.
I do remember, though, when I was in fourth grade, we had one like a little Parks and Rec Super Bowl.
Okay.
You know, we went to CC's Pizza.
Oh, CC's.
And I ate maybe 19 slices of pizza.
What?
Yeah, $5. $5 all you can eat.
Fourth grade.
There you go.
Wow.
And you get like mac. Yeah. It's all different kind of like mac and cheese pizza.
You get those little cinnamon rolls at the end.
In college, it's dangerous.
The cinnamon rolls are definitely the best.
Is it at least? Are they at least smaller slices? I mean, I've never been to
sort of.
They're not like.
It's also great people watching.
Yeah. They're not like up north slices of pizza, you know, which are pretty big.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, gotcha.
Not Lorenzo's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I call them down south slices.
Okay.
Which is smaller.
So now that you've been.
Because people from the south are smaller? Is that?
Nah. We're faster. We're definitely faster.
That's true.
You can spin it however you want, Earl. It's okay. There's no reason to be defensive just because you're on the podcast. Earl Wolf, safety for Philadelphia Eagles. So now that you've been in Philly for over a year now, is there a go-to spot you have in the city? Is there, you know, certain spots that you have to hit when you're here in town?
I really been liking Miss Tootsie's on South Street. Mm-hmm. I've been there multiple times lately, honestly.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I went on an off day.
Did you really?
Yeah. Good.
I tried to bring some of the guys, but some of the guys were like, I don't need that in me. You know, mm-hmm. this is what I'm gonna use to fuel me before practice. I said, that's what I do. I don't know.
So you did like that Earl.
I don't see a problem with it.
You heard it here first. Turns his nose up at the sports science, eating the right food.
I feel like my body is just used to that. I didn't eat
Miss Tootsie's is good, man.
I did have chicken and waffles, though, so it's probably not pretty good for my body. But,
that's all right. You got to break up the mundane of training camp.
Definitely. Had to,
It's obviously working for you so far. You've had a chance of working with the first-team defense. You know, you've said yourself multiple times in media interviews that you feel a lot more comfortable in the defense. So, obviously, something is working right for you to this point.
Yes, definitely. It might be the chicken and waffles. Hey, I might need to continue going.
Can't rule it out.
Can't rule it.
You'll bulk up at least.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get a little swole.
There you go.
Do you prefer the wings or do you prefer the legs?
That's a personal question there.
The wings, though. I like the wings.
You like the wings?
All right. I like the wings. I'm more of a wing guy. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
We already established that, I thought.
Yeah. That was...
I mean, fried chicken, I prefer the legs, I would say.
Yeah. No.
That's a tough call.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
I asked the hard hitters.
You're right. I take it back.
Earl,
anywhere else besides Miss Tootsie's? Yeah.
We're talking about restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Del Frisco's. Matter of fact, we went as a group, all the DBs we went.
Oh, yeah? Who paid?
Who paid?
No comment.
Wasn't me.
No comment.
No comment. Yeah. I will not. I can't answer that question.
Date to one love?
Pass.
So what's it been like for you being back in the city? Because I know you've had all the connections family-wise. Your mother, Sharon, grew up here. How much did that help ease the transition? Or did it have an impact on that transition coming to Philly?
You know, before the draft, I was a little nervous. I had said to myself, like, I couldn't imagine going somewhere, like going on the West Coast where I don't know anybody. I don't have any family close. It'd be tough for me to get home because I'm used to, you know, in college, I went to Raleigh and I went to NC State, of course, you know, which was an hour away. So it was never too hard to get back home whenever I wanted. Sometimes I would go home like that day. And like sometimes, you know, all depending on, you know, what the emergency was, what the case was. But
You had class?
Yeah. Oh, class. Yeah, class. But, you know, so I was kind of, you know, nervous about that. And then I get drafted here. It wowed me, you know. Me being a family guy, me. And I used to complain all the time about how I never could see my family, which all lived in Philly, you know, growing up. You know, because I'm from, you know, like in Rayford area I'm from. You know, growing up is just, you know, it's like, you know, it's a little small city. It's real country, you know, which everybody, almost everybody in there is somebody's cousin, somebody's uncle, somebody's aunt, you know. So growing up, my friends used to say all the time, like, you know, I'm going to go visit my aunt, I'm going to visit my cousin. And I could never say that because all my family lived up here. And then, you know, just once I got drafted here, you know, I take advantage of that, though. I go see my family as much as possible.
And what was it? Your uncle was wearing an Eagles hat next to you when he got drafted, something
yes,
like that?
Yes, an Eagles hat that... It wasn't a normal Eagles hat because he like decorated himself. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. And they told me though before I got drafted, like, Earl, regardless of where you go, we will be an Eagles fan, but we will be an Earl Wolf fan.
if you got the call from Jerry Jones,
ooh, it's a good question.
What would have been the one place you didn't want to go? Dallas, Washington.
Now that I'm here,
yeah,
nowhere else.
All right.
Okay. That's a cop. I guess you did already say the West Coast, so that's fair.
We don't need the bulletin board material. All of a sudden, he'll say Seattle, and then we
is that
we
really bulletin board material?
Definitely.
Earl Wolf didn't want to get drafted by Seattle. That's
you'd
really,
be surprised.
That's going to motivate that
you
defense.
You'd be surprised.
Here comes Richard Sherman now.
They got something to prove. Because having a support system, I mean, it's obviously very important for rookies in the transition they make to the league, but sometimes – if you have family that's close to you, it's one of those situations where they'll almost reach out to you too much. And so how has that balance gone for you? Has it been a helpful support system or?
It's been a really helpful support system. Yeah. They don't really ask me for anything. They don't, honestly don't ask me to come to the games, you know, unless I ask them if they want to come, you know, then you know, of course, if the schedule is free, you know, they'll come support me. But other than that, it's been great. Like I said, they don't really ask me for anything. They, you know, they. If I ever want to eat or anything, just go over there and talk. You know, they'll, you know, they're always free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great, man. Honestly, it's just a blessing, you know, to be here. You know, where my family is.
Now, one thing I know about you, about Earl, is obviously your mom in the military.
Yes.
Both your brothers.
Yes.
Are also in the military as well.
Yes, one just got in the Marines, but the other one is still in the Navy.
Still in the Navy.
Yes.
So what has that been like growing up in the household?
It means a lot. Like when it comes to the military, you know, I guess, you know, everybody has a different viewpoint on it. You know, just me knowing, you know, what they grow through, you know, just because where I'm from, you know, Fort Bragg is right there, you know. So, and I know, so, you know, I've met, you know, a couple of guys in the military, of course, you know, my mom was military. My dad was military when I was younger, you know, so it just means a lot. Then I also had a friend that I lost a friend in Afghanistan. I was in the military.
Really? Wow.
You know, so anytime I hear like the, anytime I hear anything, the national anthem, you know, anything, it just, I think about that, you know. My mom went to Kuwait my last year in college, my senior year, so she missed almost every game, you know. So I just view that, you know, it's just really important to me. It has a special place in my heart.
Did you talk to Alejandro about his experiences at all?
I didn't talk to him a whole lot about him, you know.
He's too big to approach. It's like kind of scary.
I call him the Terminator.
Yeah,
I call him the Terminator.
Believe that he was a receiver in college?
All right.
You're going up again, like if you're going into a game and you're like, all right, this guy's 6'9" and 285 pounds.
Yeah.
Like he's the first one off the bus, and coach is like, that's their receiver.
For real. That's the time. Like, for example, when we played Boston College and Momo was on there, you know, I'm just looking at scouting port, and I'm like, okay, you know, a little small receiver, like 5'8", 170. Then I see 6'7", 240. I'm like, oh, my God. LeBron playing football? What is going on in here? Like,
Do you agree that Momo has looked like 300 times better this summer than last year?
He looks a lot better, you know. And I feel like he has more confidence also, which is really big, you know. He's a big athletic guy, and he's using his body more than he did last year.
What's the toughest transition when you're making from the jump from college to the NFL?
Just learning a whole new playbook. Honestly, that's what I would say. You know, football on the field wise, you know, just learning that playbook. You know. Because you really can't show your talent if you don't know what you're doing. Like, you really can't show it. You know, football, that's what a lot of people don't understand how important the mental aspect of football is. You know, like I said, if they call a play, you don't know what you're doing, you can't show, you know, basically, you know, what you can do. You know, so I would say, you know, learning the playbook.
At what point last season or maybe even this offseason do you think that you finally had a grasp of what you were supposed to do?
It's crazy because I feel like I had a – it's different in a game than it is in practice. You know, I feel like in practice last year, I had a grasp to a certain extent. Like, I didn't have it. Like, I didn't have, like, a strong grasp. You know, but But now I would say towards the end of last year, but more in OTAs, you know. Because we went over a lot of little details in OTAs, you know, which I feel like helped me a lot, which now I can make the calls so much faster, and I'm more comfortable making the calls, which allows me to, you know, get lined up and play. You know, that's what it's all about, you know, getting lined up, you know, making the call and playing.
One of the things that Bill Davis talked about, how he's mixing and matching all the personnel grouping so that you work with different guys.
Yeah.
How much does that help so that in a game situation, if you're out there with Malcolm, if you're out there with Chris, if you're out there with Nate, whoever you're with, you'll have had some experience there?
It means a lot because I feel like, you know, just me looking to the left and knowing that I'm comfortable, you know, being beside this guy, you know, knowing that he knows what he's doing, you know, knowing that I've worked with him before and I know, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just getting everybody on the same level, you know, at a communication level, you know, just everybody being at the same standpoint because you never know, somebody may go down, you know, the next guy up, somebody else may go down, God forbid, you know, then, you know, we have to put them in. So it's just everybody knows, you know, how we all communicate, you know. So I feel like it's been real effective.
The other story that we're sort of beating to death this training camp is just how much deeper the secondary is than last season. Do you feel that too? I mean, that's part of the reason that Coach Davis can put you guys in different combinations because you're so much deeper. Like, Nolan Carroll is a starting caliber corner. Brandon Boykin obviously is a starting caliber guy.
Yeah.
You're just so much deeper than you were last year.
Yeah, we are. We're a lot deeper. We have more. I would say we have more veteran experience. You know, just, you know, Nolan's been in. You know, Chris has been in. Malcolm's been in. You know, these are three new guys that I feel like can help us, you know, on every phase of the game. You know, and I feel like the coaches do a good job. Putting these guys in places to make plays, putting us all in places to make plays. So I know we're gonna have a great year this year.
Or last year. David Amerson got drafted in the second round.
Yeah.
And so he's in the division rivals. He's with Washington.
That's my boy.
Yep. Now, last year at all, did you have to go up against any of your teammates, like, actually on the field, like, one-on-one, and actually contact any of these guys?
Yeah, Mike Glennon.
Okay. That's right.
The giraffe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I went in. I would have been a sack. You know, it was intentional grounding, though. You know, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that's bull. He stole a sack from you.
I know.
Did you text him after?
Yeah, matter of fact, we talked about it after the game. Because when I almost got the sack, I talked a little bit of junk to him.
And then, he's probably looking at you like, come on,
yeah,
dude.
And then I came on a blitz, and they threw a back shoulder fade in the end zone, I think, and they scored. And he came to me, he said something right back to me, and kept it going, you know.
That's fair.
But we've always been that way, even in practice in college. You know, we talked a little junk here and there, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, he's a good guy. He's my friend. I wish him the best of luck.
I have a request for Brian Thomas, our producer. There's a picture of Connor Barwin sacking Glennon, and the face of distress that Glennon has is just hilarious. Yes.
Oh my god.
If I can see, if we had the camera in your face, it's exactly that. That I'm asking for that picture to be put in the video part of the podcast.
I have not seen that. I have to see that. Y'all will have to show
me. We will definitely show it to. Yeah.
Poor guy got his jam taken away.
Oh. We'll see.
Yeah.
Time will tell. Yeah. Time will tell on that. So, Malcolm Jenkins, obviously, everyone's wondering about what he's bringing to the table. What was it like when he first came here to the facility, the first time that you got to meet him? What is that like when the new guy comes in and he has, you know, that air of respect, that, you know, that experience, that leadership that Malcolm brings?
You know, I was hearing a lot of that before I met him, you know. So I kind of, you know, so then I just had that respect for him, you know. You know, he won a Super Bowl. You know, he won a Thorpe Award in college. You know, he was a good player there. He could play, you know, he could play corner, safety, or nickel. You know, just me knowing, you know, what type of caliber player he was, you know, it gave me the respect. And when I met him, I gained even more respect just seeing how hard he worked. Because I kind of go back and I look at how, you know, a lot of guys that came out like five stars that won this, won that, you know, because I'm not saying because of their name, but just because, you know, everybody already kind of knew they were a good player. You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of them take a lot of stuff for granted. You know, like, they don't work as hard, you know. But once I met, you know, Malcolm, you know, I worked out with him. I bet, you know, he deserves everything, you know, he has. You know, everything he's won. He's a real hard worker, extreme hard worker. He just wants to be better and better. You know, and that's the guy I want to be around. You know, that's why I'm around him a lot. That's why I work out with him. That's why I sit beside him in meetings. You know, I look at his notes every once in a while to see what he's writing. see if he can give me a couple tips. You know,
I'm sure that's the first time you've ever done that.
Yeah, man. So great addition to the team, definitely.
You mentioned how people have to, you know, be appreciative of what they have. Is it true that you were discovered at a high school camp or North Carolina State camp, I should say, when you were in high school, and that it was a situation where your family had to, like, you know, struggle to put the money together just for you to attend the camp, for you to get seen?
Just where I'm from, a lot of guys don't go to college. I didn't know anything about camps. You know, it was kind of like last minute, like the coaching instinct came up. And my dad had just got something, maybe from the military, you know.
Okay.
I can't remember, you know. And he asked me if I needed anything. And it was crazy. He was like the next day after he got it. And I was like, Dad, I want to go to this camp, you know. You know, if I asked my mom, she probably would have did it, you know. She definitely would have did it, you know. But maybe because I went to ECU camp and NC State camp, you know.
Okay.
I probably went to one or the other, not really knowing which one I would have went to, you know, but probably not both. You know, and everything happened for a reason, man. You know, I went to NC State camp. I didn't even think about getting a scholarship. I was going there to learn more about the game because I just had started playing DB because I was a running back, like, my whole life, running back, receiver, you know. So then I just went to the camp, just wanted to, you know, learn a couple of things, take it back to my high school, you know, tell some of the guys, teach some of the guys. Then I ended up, you know, getting a full scholarship.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And I came back telling the guys, like, yo, I just got a full scholarship from NC State. They didn't believe
right
me.
Right on the spot?
Yeah.
That's
like,
crazy.
Yeah. Like, well, they was like, you know, we want to offer you, you know, but first we have to see your grades, you know, see how everything looked. You know, and then basically once I showed them my grades, they offered me.
It was a good thing that your family kept you in line and made sure they had good grades and everything else.
Yes. My mom didn't play any games growing up.
Unfortunately, nobody told you the saying about North Carolina State, Wake Forest.
What?
If you can't go to college, go to state.
Yeah, definitely.
I had to throw it in. Come on.
Yeah, you did. You did.
How did you guys do against Wake when you were 2-2, probably?
Yeah, we haven't beat Wake Forest at Wake Forest in forever. Dang. It's a crazy.
You don't go into Grove Stadium, PB&T Stadium, and come out alive.
It's crazy. I don't see how, because they come to us, we beat them bad.
Right.
Then we go there and it goes down to the wire and we lose.
I think it's been like back and forth each of the last few seasons.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
This is
good stuff.
I'm surprised. I can't believe it's taking you this long to ask him what it's like covering Michael Campanaro.
Well, that's true. Because you don't know what it's like because all of a sudden you turn around and he's gone.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
I think
future in politics.
They've already started sizing up his gold jacket, I think.
Oh my gosh, here we go. Gold jacket from Wake Forest?
Exactly. Okay. Golden black.
Well played.
I didn't know they'd give out gold jackets. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well played. Earl, on that note, Let's let you get running here, because I know you still got to hit the cafeteria and everything else. Earl Wolf, thank you very much.
Good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
Yeah, best of luck here Friday and the season ahead. So.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Earl.
Earl Wolf, our guest on the Eagles podcast.
You can go.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stay. Keep talking.
Earl's a pro's pro. He was waiting for the camera to cut out and everything. He's like, no, we'll just gonna keep it rolling here. So. Great insight, good laughs, and of course you gotta get the Wake NC State rivalry.
I gotta get the dig in, yeah.
Of course, you have to. Who is Wake's biggest rival?
Alabama. you like to think we're competing with for national championships.
Winston-Salem State.
Winston-Salem State.
I was trying to get in touch with Russ Lindy last night, but his phone was off the hook because Ryan Nassib was on.
Completed his first pass.
Was that touchdown?
All right. So that's the Bears.
It was an impressive touchdown.
It was good.
It wasn't. He was underthrown. That's probably what Russ Lindy thought. It was an impressive throw. It was like underthrown. Should have been picked. Do you think you love anything in your life more than Russ Landy loves Ryan Nassib?
My wife and kids and my family, but it may not be as much.
Because the difference is that you rationally love your family. You love them for a good reason because they're your family and they're great people.
You're saying that I love them because I have to?
No, because they are worthy of love. Yes. Russ Lindy is irrational. It's more of like a stalker situation, I think. Like, you really like
fatal attraction.
Yeah, like it's a reasonable thing for you to love your family. To say that Ryan Nassib is
Listen, Ryan Nassib grew up an Eagles fan. He's all right in my book.
That's
true.
Maybe that's actually what's going on. And is he's like a sleeper cell, and he's in New York just trying to bring the team down from the
inside.
That's
a good one.
I think that Justin Pugh is doing the same thing.
That's exactly right.
That's tremendous.
Oh, this is good. I like this. It's like what Steve Smith once said to us.
Oh, that was so frustrating when he came 1 yard short of the first down and just goes down.
It just went down. That's one of the worst plays in Eagles history. I think that's the worst play of the last 5 years.
Since you've come on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. That was an unreal play.
The end of these podcasts the last couple weeks.
But it's the best part
it
of
is.
It.
Is. I know. People need to just fast forward.
Yeah. They hear the player interview. All right, that's good. I'll turn it off.
The awkward beginning when we're trying to be nice and talk about football. Nobody cares about that.
Brian Thomas is like, stretch it out. Really, Brian? What else? What else?
We've got segments and stuff. No, forget about it.
We'll just see.
I did enjoy Andrew Gardner's green shirt.
That's true. We got the camera on just in time for that.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, but I don't think it was an Eagles green, though, from what I could say.
It was more like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle green.
It was Dasani water bottle cover cap green.
Yeah.
So.
That was dumb.
It's all right. But excited for Friday on a closing note.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just smiling. You've reached a point here in training camp, and I don't want to jinx anything or say anything else. It's been a drama-free training camp. No major storylines, and it's been quiet. And you hear and you see media people complaining about what kind of camp it's been. For the team, this is the best camp possible. This is what they want. They want to get their work in, you know, no major distractions, nothing crazy going on, and to be able to just get into the games. But we're at that point where I want to see that live action. You know, they put the pads on here in the training sessions, but just not the same, no tackling to the ground. You want to see the actual football. And the Giants Bills, for what it was, gave us at least it whetted my appetite, at least to say the least. So at least get things going here for Friday night.
There is a Russ Lindy joke to be made, but I'm going to let it go.
It's very adult of you.
Thank you.
Yes, Holding back. Come on.
It's not like you.
It isn't. Well,
you know, sometimes you got to do the right thing.
Yeah. So on that note, I guess we're going to wrap it up. Another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. For Bo Wolf, Fran Duffy, I'm Chris McPherson. And we'll see you guys next week. Make sure to download on iTunes, and we'll talk to you soon.
Eagles Beakley.
You got it in.